Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
The shadows hold more than darkness. They hold the truth. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring defense attorney and host of the podcast, Defense Diaries, Bob Mata.
Robert Tellis, the former Clark County administrator who was now charged and found guilty with murdering Las Vegas Review-Journal reporter Jeff Gurman. Well, obviously guilty. Sentencing? Not exactly what we expected. Joining me to discuss, it is Bob Mata, host of the podcast Defense Diaries and defense attorney. Bob, honestly, this morning, I know the jury came in late last night with their verdict, and the first thing I looked at this morning, I'm like, what was the sentence? I read it wrong. I thought my eyes are glossy. I'm like, oh, life without the possibility of parole. No, not so much. Not so much.
Not so much. Not so much. It was same. I woke up and my buddy over at Law and Crime, Michael Bryant, was texting me. He's like, so after Law and Crime went off air, that I guess one of the producers talked to a couple of the jurors, and apparently they were stuck. Two of the jurors were stuck on the hair picture.
Oh,
like that, like two of the jurors that actually sold them that it wasn't him, that that person in that vehicle had hair, to the extent where it sounds like it was a compromised verdict, which bared itself out in the sense that at sentencing, they gave him 20 years to life. So that means that after his 20th year, he can actually apply for parole. So in theory, he could be out in 20 years.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy? It's crazy for this a brutal homicide like that.
This proves exactly, you know, what you always say, what I'm always saying is there is no such thing as a slam dunk case. This one there really isn't. Felt like it would have been, but literally the idiot putting on a wig somehow made some jurors think it wasn't him. God.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
Like with DNA under the fingernails, the shoe cut up in the house, the hat, the bag. It's like, yeah, we say it all the time, man. You never know what a jury's going to do. You just never know.
I feel bad for anybody in those two jurors' lives because I'm guessing these are people who don't make the best of decisions in general.
I mean, man, that's
you're buying that, these are the folks who are buying like the stamps and the coins and the plates late at night on television, thinking there's some sort of commemorative thing that will be there forever. And in reality, their kids are just going to throw them away the moment they die. that's the type of person
you're
I'm
saying
thinking.
My collector plates are going to get tossed.
I'm sorry.
That's a bummer.
I'm sorry, Bob. They're not collectible. They're for you. I'm glad they make you feel good that all of the presidents and an eagle, you know, eating, flags and fireworks going off in the background and the Twin Towers and, you know, everything.
America.
And it just says America right across. I'm sorry. They're not worth anything. I know you spent 10 easy payments of $29.99. But
I consider you a true friend for breaking that news to me. So thank you for that.
Hey, sometimes you just got to hear reality.
Hey, man, got to rip that Band-Aid off, dude, at some point.
But my God, I mean, this couldn't. I still don't understand his theory. I don't the conspiracy theory. I really don't quite grasp how it all works. Did you ever get a full grasp on what he was meaning by the realty firm wanting to frame him and to kill Jeff Gurman? I mean, it didn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Part of the problem for him was that, as you know, I can't remember if we recorded before or after he did his narrative, his narrative direct, wherein his lawyer did not question him. Mm-hmm. Like he was just able to get on the stand and tell a story.
Yeah.
That's obviously something that happens all the time when you have a pro se defendant, somebody who's representing themselves. It's not quite as frequent when you have a lawyer, but what that tells you is that his lawyer communicated to the court, like, without saying it, like, you can't destroy privilege by going up and telling the judge, oh, well, my client's about to get on the stand and lie. But, you know, it was definitely communicated to the judge that, look, I'm in a position where there's certain questions that I cannot ask my client. And if you're going to force me to do that, I'm going to have to make a motion to withdraw, mm-hmm. which it's a mistrial or, you know, because I think you're going to have to grant it. So ultimately, I think they were that deep into the trial, they ultimately said, all right. And the state was like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, in the state's going to be like, this guy's going to sit up there and talk for an hour and a half. That's awesome.
Yes.
You know, we'll give him as much rope as he wants to take to hang himself. And so that thing goes down. And from what I gather, the overarching concept is that, like when he's in office, he's got this kind of this beef going with Compass Mortgage, wherein he realizes that their Compass is pulling some shady stuff with respect to the properties, because PA basically, if somebody dies intestate, meaning without a will, the property goes into the hands of the state unless somebody else in the family wants to, you know, handle the estate. Uh-huh. So in those situations, it sounded like Compass was getting their hands on some of these properties and that they were buying them for undervalue and then turning around sometimes in the same day and selling them for a profit, mm-hmm. far above what they bought it for, you know, $50,000-$60,000. And then he caught them doing this multiple times. He said to like the tune of like $6 million, which to Compass Mortgage, which is a billion-dollar net worth corporation, mm-hmm. Wouldn't be anything. It's a drop in the bucket. They'd write it off as like the loss is bad debt or whatever, yeah. whatever the case may be, even though it wasn't a loss. So at some point, Tellus's story is like, look, like the woman that's running against me in the election, I found out that Compass had donated to her campaign, contributed to her campaign.
Okay.
So they're basically trying to say, all right, we want this guy out. So that's when it starts to become evident to him that Compass Mortgage really has it out for him. And then when the stories come out, like in his theory, I think that it was that Compass was providing Garmin with information. All right. So it then becomes this thing where Compass Mortgage hires a hitman or an assassin to go and frame up Tellus for the death of Garmin because they know that he will be the suspect because of all the stories that have come out and ruined his political career. So the big gaping hole that I kept waiting for is like, okay. And apparently there was a cop that had worked for Compass Mortgage at one point. Okay. So that, like, that's his link to, that's how the cops get involved to framing him up. So it's like you have the hitman hired by Compass Mortgage, and then this I'm assuming a realtor with Compass Mortgage who was formerly a cop or was still a cop, somehow talks some of his cop buddies into joining in on this frame up and like, look, hey man, you need to look that way for 1 second. I'm going to tuck these, this cut up shoe under this chair here. Look, man, I can't make any sense of it either, but from what I gathered from the story, and again, because his lawyer wasn't the one really putting forth this theory.
Yeah.
That's all we're ever going to get. We're going to get that weird, incomplete story because his lawyer, frankly, just leaned into reasonable doubt.
Yeah.
He's just trying to kind of pick apart.
Why would they care about Tellus? And if he's going to be out of office, he has nothing to do with anything anymore.
That's what Hamner's arguing. Like prosecutor Hamner, who I love, like he looks exactly like Rob Schneider. I can't like every, I'm sitting there looking at him like I call him Rob Schneider cuter, but I love him, man. He's like really like just a straight talking. He actually reminds me a lot of a defense attorney more than kind of a buttoned up prosecutor.
Yeah.
He's just that kind of guy. And that's what he's saying. He's like, why in the world you are a lame duck candidate? Like why? Like you were out.
Yeah.
They had already won. They had contributed to your opponent's campaign. She won the election. You're done in like 3 months. What do they care?
Yeah.
You're out of their lives. You know, and they obviously don't really have, he didn't have an answer for that, you know? So it's like the concept of it is.
And he somehow twisted the hitman, that the hitman would want to draw attention to themselves if he was trying to frame someone.
Listen.
Like in any case, a hitman's not going to try and draw attention to themselves. You know,
like, all right. So like that part of it when, and that came out during Cross when Hamner was crossing him and he said, he's like, so let me just get this straight. So what you're saying is that a professional hitman intentionally drove so that you, so the vehicle would be seen on the video.
Yeah.
And Taez starts to spit it out, but he's like, yeah, my concept is that they're trying to frame me up. So they went and they bought the same vehicle that I own. So it then became very important for them to make sure that I'm seen on video. He's like, but wait a second. He's like, so they took all the effort, the assassin took all the effort to park a block or blocks away, walk over to the crime scene. And then at some point, they're like, oh, man, I forgot something, or I got to go back to the crime scene. They then drive back, but they have to make sure that the car is seen on video, the Tahoe seen on video. And he's like, yes. He's like, look, if I'm a professional hitman and I am going to try to kill somebody, I'm not going to pull up right in front of the house. Once the job was done, so like I have to come in surreptitiously. So if I'm the hitman, so I'm going to park far away. I'm going to walk over so that I'm undetected. Like as if somebody would know that was Taez's car, that this person was a hitman if they parked on the street,
yeah.
You know, but then, and then I have to come back and make sure that they see it so that the frame up is perfected so that they know they have a hint, they have a clue of how to come after me and they'll have some evidence. So
we're going to throw this evidence in the house. The bottom line is
instead of just killing Taez or Tellus.
Yeah.
And that was the first thing.
Why would they kill Tellus if they hated Tellus? You know, or if they don't want
any That's corruption. What Hamner said.
Yeah.
Why didn't they just kill you?
Yeah. Why would you go after the reporter?
Poor Jeff Garman. Like, why suck him into it? You know? So it was a crazy case. And it seemed, it's like you said, it seemed like a foregone conclusion. And I always respect when a jury is going to go back and do their job and deliberate. I mean, that's what they're supposed to do. We shouldn't be cheering our long convictions. You know, in terms of deliberations, like, it's not the way the system's built. They're really supposed to go back there and challenge the evidence and have meaningful discussions, you know, and like we have all these cases where it's like, oh, well, that's a no brainer, you know, like that, like they'll be back in an hour. Like I'm guilty of it myself.
I said the same thing.
I've been practicing forever, you know, not just about Tellus, but like all kinds of cases. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
This is gonna take forever, you know. I mean, or this is gonna be as quick as day, you know. But I'm always leaning toward hung juries. I'm like, oh, they're gonna be hung. they're gonna be hung on it. Not on this case. I did not think they were gonna be hung on this case. Yeah. So I mean, it's a surprising result. In a lot of ways.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale, and just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.